In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. And, you know, we look out the window today, or we go out today, and we feel that it is August. August always arrives on time, doesn't it? With the rain and the storms, every single August. I don't know if spring ever arrives on time, but August arrives on time. September arrives on time. Spring, summer, I don't know. Things are mixed up. The weather patterns are a little cuckoo. And maybe it's because we don't live the way we're supposed to live. I really believe that the way we live affects the weather patterns. I really believe that. I believe the way we live, the way we respond to God or not respond to God, the way we spit in his face or the way we revere him, the weather patterns respond. And I don't think people believe that, but I certainly do believe that, and I also know it to be true. Today we're going to be looking at a couple of verses in Psalm 86, and the scripture says, Teach me, Lord, your way, that I may walk in your truth. Single-hearted, revering your name. I'll read that again. Teach me, Lord, your way, that I may walk in your truth. Single-hearted, revering your name. The problem about humanity after the sin of Adam and Eve is that our heart is divided. Every one of us has a divided heart. No one's heart is not divided. And you know what? Unfortunately, most people have a price. Most people have a price in which they can give in. The devil knows what our price is. And you know, he will allure people to pay the price to compromise. To compromise and not be single-hearted. Not be single-hearted. Because, first of all, the problem with humanity is that we have a divided heart because of sin. We inherit that divided heart from Adam and Eve. But we also don't have to blame them because we plug into the divided heart. And you know, one of the things that happens in the life of a Christian is that at the beginning, people are very, very, very gung-ho. Oh, yes, 100% for God. But you know, it doesn't take long for compromise to set in and the single-heartedness to wither away. It doesn't take long. Maybe you're in that position today. You know, you've really compromised. I remember a young seminarian came to me many years ago. I was in Quincy. I was a new priest. And this young seminarian came to me to speak with me. And we sat down in the blue room. And I looked straight into his eyes. And I said to him, John, I only have one thing to say to you. He said, What's that, Father Tom? I said, Don't ever compromise. That's all I said. I listened to him, and before he left, I said to him, John, I only have one thing to say to you. Don't ever compromise. Now, you know, I don't even remember saying that, but one day I was at the Cape speaking, and John, Father John, was also a speaker there. And he said, I remember going to Father Tom's rectory many years ago. And I'm listening because you know what? I don't know what I said. And he said, Father Tom just said one thing to me. And I'm listening with my ears wide open because I have no idea what I said. He said, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, John, I've got one thing to say to you. don't compromise. And I thought, I said, wasn't that good guidance right from the Holy Spirit? For again, I had no idea what I said to him that day. How do you remember what you say to people? But you know, the single-hearted person doesn't compromise. The single-hearted person doesn't compromise. And it is so easy to compromise, my friends. It's so easy. If you would take the four temptation scenes in Matthew's gospel, you would see that the devil is calling Jesus to compromise. To compromise who he is. And Jesus combats him with the Word of God. Compromise goes against the heart that is sold out, the single heart. And every one of us is weak in one area or another. We are, all of us. Because the Lord does not choose the strong, he chooses the weak. He chooses the weak in order that he would receive all the glory. And it's easy to compromise because we can always say, you know what? I'm still doing the Lord's work. I'm still going the extra mile. But in reality, compromise sets in 2007, and in 2008, there will be more compromise. And in 2009, I will assure you, there will be more compromise. So that probably by 2015, you will be just like everybody else. You see, the devil has a plan for our life, and it's not over a couple of months or a couple of weeks. It's over years. And his word is compromise. Just compromise a little. You know, compromise. Everybody else is compromising. And yet, the scripture says, teach me, Lord, your way, that I may walk in your truth, single-hearted, revering your holy name. When Edith Stein was in the concentration camp, and she was a light to all the people that were there, they say. A light. She could have compromised. Oh, yes, she was heading toward the gas chambers. But you know what? She could have compromised and she could have said, I'm not going to encourage these Jewish people. I'm not going to hold their babies. And that's what she did. She held the babies. The mothers were very, 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 very downtrodden. They knew they were going to die. They knew their children were going to die. And Edith Stein was like a light in the midst of that concentration camp. She would hold the children. She would rock the children. And she would say to the women, the Jewish women who were with her, that it was going to be all right, that the Lord of Israel was going to help them, that they didn't have to fear. She could have compromised. She could have plugged into her own fear. She could have plugged into her own fear. We all have it, you know. But she didn't. There was no compromise in the woman of God. She was a light. She brought forth light in the midst of hell. That's what she did. Because, you see, she was single-hearted. And she had the grace not to compromise. And it takes grace not to compromise, because you know what? I'm going to tell you what I used to have on my door. Oh, no, I didn't have this on my door. It should have been on my door in the seminary. The best of men are men at best. I'll say it again. The best of men are men at best. You know, fallible, weak, compromising, the best of men are men at best. And it's so easy, you know, to give in to your own fears, your own whims, your own, You know, we all have them. We all have them. The best of men are men at best. But the woman of God was not a woman of compromise. Her heart was totally sold to the crucified Jesus. And she lived in the concentration camp the way she lived in the Carmelite monastery. As a light. As a light. Holding the children, encouraging the Jewish women, letting them know it was going to be all right because the Lord of Israel was with them. And you know, when she died, her last words were, she and her sister Rosa, let us die for our people. Yes, let us die in union with Christ as an oblation, as a sacrifice, so that the Jewish people would come to know Jesus. There was no compromise in that holy woman. There was no compromise in that holy woman. But unfortunately, compromise has been placed before each one of us, and so many of us have given in. It's time to take back the land that the devil stole from us through compromise. It's time to take back the land. Like, for instance, we have so many Catholic organizations that are not Catholic. We have the Knights of Columbus. There were 16 Knights of Columbus that were on the Senate and the representatives, I believe the representatives. They all voted for gay marriage. Compromise. Oh, they compromised. And they will pay for it. Because every action has a reaction, not only on earth, but in heaven. It was compromise. That's all we needed were 8 of them to be Catholic. But they compromised. We have a senator called Mr. Kennedy who goes to communion every single day. His life is a life of compromise. He can call himself a Catholic, but you know what? He's nothing but a compromiser. He has made a pact with the devil. That's what we do. And you can go to Holy Communion every single day, but St. Paul would say it becomes a reproach against you. We take colleges, like Catholic colleges, that started as Catholic colleges. And then the government came in and said, we're going to give you money. First of all, I don't want any money from the government. Because that means I'm going to compromise. You see, if I have to compromise to stay on the air, I don't want to be on the air anymore. I don't want to be on radio. If I've got to, you know, I've got to pay a price of compromise to people because they give me money and they tell me how to preach, I say, you know what, keep your money. I don't need their money. You see, if I can't be free, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't want people's money. You know, if somebody says, you know, I'll give you this if you do that, it's compromise. So Catholic universities, very many of them, because they accept money from the state, have compromised. They're no longer Catholic. It didn't start that way, but that's the way it ended up. No longer single-hearted. No longer reverencing the name of God. Compromise, it's a scary thing. And you know what? I'm not dead yet. So I can't criticize to the point of thinking I will never do it. Because you know what? I'm not dead yet. And you know, I have a price too. And I pray, God, I never plug into the price. I pray. I'm not telling you that I won't, because you know, I'm just like anybody else. It's easy to compromise. It's easy not to be single-hearted because our hearts are divided. It's called sin. It's easy. It's very easy. compromise. As I said, you know, many people say to you, Father Tom, does the church subsidize you? Oh no, I take not one penny from the institutional church, but the church does subsidize me than the people of God. People of God subsidize this ministry totally, completely, and entirely. I couldn't do without you. But if I had someone who wrote to me and said, Father Tom, this is what you must do, I would send the check back and say, thank you very much. Your $100,000 is not really going to help me because I don't want to preach what you're telling me to preach. There's got to be a freedom. That doesn't mean that I don't accept people's opinions and say, yeah, we think you should go this way. I'll measure it. But you see, if people have hooks on me, then I can't be free. I can't be free. I can't be free. I don't need money from people who want to control me. But you see, let's say I had a $100,000 debt, okay? And someone comes up to me and says, I'll pay your debt if you compromise. I'm going to tell you, better people than I have given into stuff like that. Better people than I have given into stuff like that, and it's not beyond me. So you pray for me that I don't compromise. You know why? Because the church does not need another compromiser. I'd rather go off the air. I'd rather say, Okinawa, sayonara, afanuda lagu kanya, I've finished. But you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going out not compromising. I'm going out because I've been preaching the word of God. I don't want to owe anybody anything. I don't need to. God put me on. God will keep me on. When God says no more, I say, hallelujah, afanuda lagu kanya. It's all finished now. I did what I needed to do. I don't want to compromise. But you know, most people have a price, even me. And I'm not telling you that I don't, believe me. That's why I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. I remember one man when I was a young priest. This is very interesting. We had just started our radio ministry. This old man came up to me. I brought him Holy Communion. He was not in our parish. And this is what the old man said to me. If you take care of me, I will give you and leave you all my money, and I have a lot of money, and it will pay for your radio bills. Well, you know, that was a great temptation. I remember being in the shower one day, thinking about that money. And you know what the Lord said to me? For 4 years I have provided for you through the donations of the people. You do not have to be beholding to that man. I do not want you taking care of that man for money. I never called him again. Let him find somebody else. He was in another parish. I wasn't going to be bought. I will tell you, it was a temptation, though. It was a temptation. It's not like, someone puts before me fish and I'm going to eat it. That's no temptation. I don't eat anything that swims. That's no temptation. But you know, there was a temptation there. It was appealing. If you take care of me, I'll leave you this money for your radio. No. Lord spoke to me in the shower. He said, I've provided and I'll continue to provide. You don't trust that man. You trust me. You don't trust that man's money. You trust me. Yeah? It would have been simple. And I could have, you know, I could have rationalized it. But that would have been the first of many compromises. Because you see, it doesn't stop with one. It doesn't stop with one. I'm announcing this week that tomorrow is Saturday, and at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, there's going to be a rosary vigil at 8:30 in the morning. You know, when I announce things like that and I talk about pro-life, our donations usually go down. But you know what? I don't really care. Because some people don't like me saying things like that. But tomorrow at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue at 8:30, there's going to be a rosary vigil at Planned Parenthood. And do you know that Bob Delery, who started this rosary vigil, has been dead 10 years? Bob Delery, pray for us. What a man that Bob Delery is. Died 10 years ago. No compromise in Bob Delery, I'll tell you. 10 years gone to the Lord. 10 years. 10 years. Man of God. People thought he was crazy, but you know what? He was a man of God. And he stood up for what he believed. I don't know how many of you remember Bob Delery, but I do. It would be a wonderful thing if tomorrow you went out to pray the rosary at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue at 8:30 in the morning. It would be a wonderful thing. And to ask Bob Delery's intercession for God's precious little ones, you know. A lot of people, even a lot of priests, will not even pray for the unborn because they say this. There might be somebody in the congregation who had an abortion. And I say to them, oh no, Father, it has nothing to do with might. There is and there are people in the congregation that had abortions. And you know what? We've got to tell them that they can be reconciled, that they can have forgiveness, that Jesus can heal the wound in their hearts. See, people compromise. We're not going to mention the unborn because maybe we want to collect more money. You see, God is my source. He provides money. Let me tell you what I did last week. Last week we had food for the poor come, and I wrote a check for food for the poor for $500 from the parish. That night, someone gave me $2,500. You cannot outgive God, and if you think you can, you're nuts. It was parish money. I also wrote a check with my own check. It was way over what I usually give. You know, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. You know, one thought was, you know, we're not getting as much money in, and maybe you shouldn't make that check out. I said, no, I'm going to make it out. You know why? Because these people in Haiti are starving. They're starving. We've got plenty of food on our table. But you see, that was at 1:30 in the afternoon on Sunday, and on 10:30 in the evening on Sunday, someone gave me $2,500 for the church. That's the way it goes. But I could have compromised. I could have compromised and said, you know, we're not doing as well as last year with money. God is my source. God is my source. Jesus Christ is my source. He knows how to do things. So let me just wind this up. Maybe you've been into compromise. That means you've got to go to confession, that's all. And turn back. Just turn back. Just admit that you've compromised and you don't want to play the game anymore. Because the devil has a plan on your life. Just admit. Let me tell you who you are. You are who you are when nobody's looking I'll say it again. I am who I am when nobody's looking. Understand? You see, you're hearing me right now. This is not who I am. I am who I am when nobody's looking. Only God. That's who I really am. God knows if I'm a phony. God knows it. God knows if I'm a phony, you know? I'll never tell you that my heart's not divided. Of course it is. But I am who I am when I don't have an audience. Yeah? And I'll tell you, I'm not perfect. Not even near. You are who you are when nobody's looking. You playing around with the internet? That's who you are when nobody's looking. Everybody thinks you're a saint. Na sandokia. You are who you are when nobody's looking. Because I'm going to tell you, God's looking. And it'll destroy you. It'll absolutely destroy you. Don't compromise, my friends. Compromise will lead you to hell. Don't compromise. We've had enough of it. We need people that are full in the war against evil by the proclamation of the cross. Don't compromise. If you've sinned, you go to confession. You confess your sins and repent. Turn away from them. But don't compromise. Don't compromise. Please, don't compromise. Tomorrow at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue at 8:30, there's going to be a rosary vigil. It's the second week of August. I don't even know what date it is. What's tomorrow? The 11th. And you're welcome to be at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue with the rosary and pray for Bob Delery. He's 10 years gone to the Lord. Please, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. We went there a couple of days ago and two children were saved. And you know what? I do need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. But you know what? Don't tell me what to preach. You can make suggestions, but don't tell me what to preach. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Don't compromise in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it.
Saturday.
And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you.
That might be 30.
That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
Yeah, there used to be three. The other two closed.